It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell it out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
A quick follow, Bill. Patrick Mahomes. What are your thoughts on him as a player?
I mean, all the superlatives that have been said about him, I'd just be repeating them all.
So that sort of set the tone for the week. Bill Belichick, who will talk your face off about a punter, wouldn't even give you anything on Patrick Mahomes. Wonder what the rationale was behind that. Gasper joining us now. What do you think? Was there a rationale behind that, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe he just doesn't want his guys to buy into the Kansas City hype. You've covered Bill. You know, he wants his guys to think these guys are mortal. They make mistakes. You know, we don't have to do anything out of the ordinary to beat them.
It's the rare event where he actually has to talk down an opponent to give his team confidence. It's almost always the opposite, that he has to talk up an opponent to get his team focused for a game that they should wipe the floor with. You know what I mean?
Which tells you that deep down, he thinks his team's a little brittle.
Oh, yeah. Well, or that they're just overmatched.
Well, right. I mean, what's the difference?
He has to play tricks.
Yeah.
Well, brittle, it denotes that they're like mentally fragile or something. They just don't have the talent to run with this team.
I mean, also, like, but I do look at some of the younger guys and say, I don't know, is N'Keal Harry mentally tough?
I don't know. I mean,
I believe in Edelman. Like, I'm not saying I believe in the offensive line. I believe in the secondary's mental toughness. But I don't know. Some of the other guys, I don't know. Do they think they're good enough to beat Kansas City?
Well, I don't know. All right. Maybe it is a mental thing. Chris Gasper is powered by the commuter rail. The 5-day flex pass has been extended through December 31st. Get 5 discounted 1-day tickets, each good for 24-hour unlimited travel. Perfect for commuting a few days a week. Visit mbta.com/fares and get the flex pass only on the M Ticket app. Chris, how do you look at this matchup? Are the Patriots porked?
No, I mean, I don't think that they are porked necessarily, but I think
can you say porked on Channel 5? They let you say that?
I don't know, but I think what's interesting about this is we're going to learn a lot, I feel, about the offense. Can they keep up? The Seattle game, I think, was a feel good for everybody, but now you look at it, do you realize Cam Newton, and granted, he fell 3 yards short, so this is sort of a typical Felger and Maz take here, but you know he's the only quarterback Seattle's faced this year who hasn't topped 400 yards? So how much of that was the passing attack and the weapons they have, and how much of that was Seattle not having a good secondary to begin with and then losing 2 free safeties?
What do you think?
I think it had more to do with Seattle.
Me too.
And the fact that they play cover 3, the secondary to me is not that impressive to begin with, and they lost 2 free safeties. Now, we'll see. You know, Gunnar Olszewski should be back. We'll see if he can make a difference here. I just have a hard time seeing the Patriots being able to, for an entire game, I think they can do it for a half, but for an entire game, just running the football down the throat of the Chiefs and playing keep away and scoring enough points to beat Kansas City. Because I don't think this year's defense is playing at the level that last year's defense was when they held Mahomes to 23 points.
How's this Kansas City defense? How would you compare it to Seattle?
Well, I would say I think it's better, except for they're banged up at cornerback a little bit. Charvarius Ward is on the injury list. The rookie, Legarius Sneed, is not going to play. Bashaud Breeland is out. I believe he's suspended. So if the Patriots are still the Patriots, and I said this before Seattle too, if the Patriots are still the Patriots and they're going to look at the other team and say, what can we exploit? then I don't think you necessarily come out and it's all ground and pound, because where you can get after Kansas City, I would think, and where you could exploit them would be in the passing game, right? If you have the guys to get it done. If you don't think you have the guys to get it done, then you don't do that and you play keep away, or sort of the old Dean Smith four corners, which if you remember in 2008, when Brady was out and they had Matt Cassel, that was their game plan in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Their game plan literally had nothing to do with exploiting the weaknesses of the Colts. It was, we have to shorten this game. And they did a brilliant job of it. I think Cassel had a fumble on a fourth and one, or Bill called a timeout, I think, on a fourth and one that they had converted, and they had to settle for a field goal. They would have kept going. So they, maybe he dusts off that game plan. But I think if they're still the Patriots that we know and love, they come out and sling it a little bit and say, we're going to attack these corners.
I agree. And you don't think the Pats are ready to do it?
I don't. I mean, unless Olszewski's, you know, going to be Danny Amendola.
Wait, hold on. All of a sudden, Gunnar Olszewski is like the key to this thing?
He looked really good in camp.
I was going to say, that's all I kept hearing is,
yeah,
he looks like a different player.
I mean, there were times, the games that I covered, the practices that I covered, he looked really good. We'll see how much of that translates, but he was getting open against Stephon Gilmore. Now, maybe that doesn't quite mean as much as we thought it did at the time, based on the start to the season, but I was really impressed. I definitely think that if he's healthy, he's a guy that they should be. To me, if he's healthy, he's the second best receiver on the team now.
Wait, that's scary.
Yes.
So you don't believe in N'Keal Harry at all? You don't like Damiere Byrd? You don't like these guys?
I mean, Damiere Byrd's fine. Damiere Byrd is, you know,
a special teams guy.
Philip Dorsett 2.0. It's like, you know, situationally.
And Harry, you think? And Harry, you think sucks?
I mean, I wouldn't say sucks, but I would say.
Yeah. Well, they don't let me say it on Channel 5.
I would say no.
You can't say you're poor toward that the guy.
I don't think at this stage of his career he's a number two receiver. I don't think he's ready for that role on a contending team. No, I don't. There's still not enough. I still don't think he's quick enough in and out of the breaks, and I'm still not seeing enough after the catch. And I think his route tree is still limited. He just doesn't get enough separation.
To me, there's only one, you know, one way to throw in this game and throw reliably, and that's to the backs. I trust those guys, and I don't know whether the Patriots can pull that off or not, but I can throw to Burkhead, I can throw to White, I think I can throw to Harris. I can't throw to the tight ends. The receivers scare the crap, and Edelman. I mean, you know, I include Edelman in that, but the rest of them, I
think you're underselling. I think those guys, I think Byrd and Harry are better than you think they are.
Maybe you're right.
But what I really believe is,
but
I think
Mike, Harry couldn't line up last
so
week.
So I was just going to say, if you can line up, if someone can get Harry lined up properly, what I really think is that I'm still back to this, you know, the operation is going to make him greater than the sum of their parts. And Bill's going to get him open and Newton's going to trust him to catch the ball in a big spot where Brady wouldn't. I'm still on this. So the individual talent, is Byrd better than Dorsett? I don't know, but I feel like
that's not a good sign. When you say, I don't know, like, that's not great. You have to acknowledge that, Mike.
Well,
when you're is this guy better than Philip Dorsett? I don't know, but I feel good about what they have. That's basically what you're saying.
No, I liked Philip Dorsett.
You did?
Yeah. I talked him up a lot last year. Like, they should throw to him more. Brady should go to him more. I felt that a lot.
Oh, so it was Brady holding Philip Dorsett back. I get it.
Maybe. I mean, he held a lot of guys back, I think.
Really?
No, he did, yeah.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned if someone could just show N'Keal Harry how to line up. The last quarterback tried to do that, and you ripped him for it.
Well, no, the coaches ripped him for it because he was such an a-hole. They said, shut your mouth, we'll do the coaching. Now that impediment has been removed, they just have a quarterback that shows up and does his job and, you know.
But I thought the reason he couldn't line up correctly was because he was so nervous and the quarterback didn't believe in him. It turns out he can't line up correctly because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know if it was nerves that he couldn't line up. Maybe he just doesn't have a good football sense.
Oh, yeah. Suck is suck.
But I think that this quarterback's willing to work with him, and I think this quarterback's willing to work with Damiere Byrd, and I think those guys are fine. I think
really?
Those, yes, I do.
He's convincing himself of this because he's so on Belichick.
So you don't think they need to, like, upgrade at wide receiver? They shouldn't make a trade. They should just ride it out.
Yeah.
Like Cam Newton said, the answers are in the locker room.
So I would rather them add on defense, and I am a believer that offensively, when it comes to receivers, and I'm consistent about this back to 10 years ago,
sure.
Chris.
Yeah,
I don't believe in that individual receiver. You know, the top off the deep, your fantasy receiver. I don't need.
Damiere Byrd.
I don't need. I don't care for. I care for a good scheme and a receiver that gets open and catches the ball, keeps his mouth shut, and goes back to the huddle and doesn't wow me. He just catches the ball. And the coordinator, for the most part, schemes it open. And the quarterback believes him, throw it like that. Deion Branch is all I need. I mean, that's it.
Deion Branch was pretty darn good. Like, that's like a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. It's a long way from Philip Dorsett, Demir Byrd to
he was not
Deion Branch.
He's not a pure physical on his own pro. He would not have made a Pro Bowl anywhere else other than here without this scheme and Brady at that time trusting him and working with him and just getting open and catching the ball. That's all I need.
So you Chris. Think, wow, that is one of the ultimate shots to the great Deion Branch. Essentially, hey, Deion, Mike Felger saying you're as good as Demir Byrd. Like, Demir Byrd, Philip Dorsett, Deion Branch, all the same.
Kind of. System guys.
Wow. Oh.
Chris, how many points do you think they need to score to win this game?
30.
Yeah, I mean,
probably
I think,
about right. Yeah,
yeah, 30.
I think you might be able to get away with 28, but what's the difference?
Yeah, no, I mean,
I'm splitting hairs now. I'm not disputing that. I think you might be able to hold the Chiefs to 27. So, like, maybe.
So, look, I don't know what the game plan is. If their game plan is to do that Colts thing from 2008, then, you know, what I'm about to say, it can't happen. But if they throw like they should and they throw, I think these guys are going to be just fine. Yep, you're going to see that they're just fine. And you ain't going to draft them in fantasy, and they're not individually, like, through the roof. But I don't think you need that. I think that individual, the weapon, look at his weapons. Like, I just think that's so overrated. And I've never been into that. You know, you can have all the weapons you want in Tampa, but if you line up off sides every other time, what good is it? You know, or you can't block it to protect your quarterback. He's getting clobbered because he's waiting for his wee weapon to take the top off the defense. What good is it? You're much better with just a good scheme and an open receiver and catch it, get down, and line up and run it again.
I mean, I wonder if you can just spread Kansas City out.
Like, use the running backs. I like your running backs thing. I think that's their linebackers are not exactly distinguished.
Well, so look, I'm just telling you that I think some of your best pass catchers come out of the backfield. So you want to put Edelman, you want to put a couple of receivers, running backs in receiver formations, receiver spots. Now you get three guys to cover. I just think Baltimore, the way Baltimore passes, they put everybody in the middle and they throw to the tight ends.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really test Kansas City's pass defense on the outside. So I don't know. Maybe you take a shot, spread them out, see what happens. See if they can match up out there.
Give me a final score, Chris.
Ooh, final score. I will go 31-23 Chiefs.
Okay, so he does not even have the Patriots covering, but he got as close to it as he could to just try and, you know, be as diplomatic as possible. He's a TV guy now.
Very coy.
Diplomatic.
No, very well thought out.
Yeah, he can't bury him completely. He wants to. Ooh, he and Murray are rooting so hard for Casey this week.
It was well thought out. No, it was well thought out.
That's not true. I mean, first of all, I've been on the Cam Newton train from the jump. I want Cam Newton to play really well. I just, unlike you, I don't think that Cam Newton or, you know, the love child of Joe Montana and Johnny Unitas can make this receiving core any better. It just, it is what it is.
Chris, you say 31-23?
Yeah.
I'm going 30-24.
Okay. Good for you, Maz.
All right, so your thoughts on that, Chris's thoughts on the Celtics, how it ended, and where they go from here, all of that with your calls on Agenda Free Friday right after these words.
Felger and Maz.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got some work to do. No question about it. And I'm not overreacting to a tough loss to, you know, good opponent. I'm just saying that, there's some things we tried to do, we'd like to do in the at the trade deadline that we weren't able to do. And I think there's some things I'd like to do now, this offseason, to make our team better. But we have a lot to do.
At least Danny Ainge was willing to say that. After saying that he wasn't stressed about the loss, that it was about injuries, including one to Romeo Langford, he actually said that. He did actually acknowledge there was work to do. So what do they have to do, Chris?
I think the first thing is they have to acknowledge they need to change this mix and this idea of sort of being the Golden State Warriors East, and we're going to have this glut of guards and wings, and we're just going to overwhelm you with our firepower and ball movement and kick and drive and positionless positionless basketball. I don't think works for the Celtics. I think they could use a legitimate big. You know how I feel about Miles Turner. I think he'd be a good fit here because he can block shots and hit threes, which is what they want. Protect the rim and stretch the floor. That's what they want in a big. I think they would be better off with a less talented team, with a lesser collection of talent, but a more cohesive team. And to me, if I'm Ainge, that's my charge. And I'll tell you why. Because the last 2 years, I've handed my coach a collection of talent and posted a note on it that says some assembly required, and it hasn't happened. I still think that that's a weak spot of Brad's game, managing and massaging egos, particularly with guys who came into the league ballyhooed in his lottery picks. And that includes Marcus Smart. People forget. I mean, he was the number six pick in the draft in 2014. So I think you have to not only take into account losing in the Eastern Conference Finals 3 out of the last 4 years, what happened this postseason on and off the court, where I felt like your chemistry didn't enhance your team, it detracted from it at the end of the day. But you also have to take into account the personality and strengths of your coach. And from Rajon Rondo to Kyrie Irving, and God love him, I don't think anybody could manage Kyrie. So I give Brad a pass on that one. But to what he's dealing with now, I just don't think that it's a strength of his ability as a coach, that part of managing and massaging the egos of guys who are focused on individual accolades and status in the NBA and Taylor Rooks more than they are on being a team.
Absolutely, Chris.
Oh, totally right.
So someone called before, you know, and we keep hearing Victor Oladipo, to which my answer is, you know, great player, good talent, but that's just another mouth to feed, and they can't figure out how to feed all the ones they got now as it is. Like, it doesn't work that way. They need more defined roles, to your sort of point.
I mean, and Chris, you know, the whole Golden State model, I can't tell you how much this drives me crazy. They have two of the greatest shooters in the history of the league. Okay, so you tell me, who's closer to being Golden State, if healthy? The Celtics or Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
I mean, it's not even close. They have Kyrie and Durant. Both those guys can shoot the lights out. So, like, this whole, you know, the positionless basketball thing, I half get. But if the idea is we're going to launch from three and beat you from out there, with who? Like, Tatum, I'll give you. Okay, Tatum, I think, is pretty close to a 40% shooter at his peak. Who else?
I mean, Jaylen Brown shot really well in the playoff series against Miami.
He's not a great shooter, Chris.
He's made himself a pretty good shooter.
I didn't say he was bad.
Okay.
He's not a great shooter.
You know, Hayward.
He's not a great shooter either. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not on the level of Klay Thompson or Steph Curry.
I mean, Curry and Thompson are guys who shoot 45% from three.
Sure. No, you're right.
Like, those guys are prolific. They are prolific shooters. The Celtics don't have prolific shooting. Like, that one to me drives me bananas. You want to emulate Golden State? Good luck. Good luck. See if you find guys like that.
Shooting 32% from the three-point
line. Yeah, it's just like Marcus Smart has improved. Yes, he's respectable. He's 36% or whatever it is. You know, fine. And you'll get Kemba Walker, 36, 37%. They all can shoot over the required minimum. Absolutely. They're all pretty decent. But those guys aren't snipers. They don't have snipers. They don't have Ray Allen out there anymore.
Before I go to the phones, answer the question as simply as you can. Why did the Celtics lose this series? How did they lose?
That's a good question. As simply as I can, because the other team pulled together and became greater than the sum of their parts when the pressure was on. The Celtics pulled apart and became less. They were lesser.
So I wonder if they acknowledge it. Like, I want, you know, I'm
Oh, they don't. I asked Danny about it yesterday.
Okay, so
I
thank you.
I asked him the chemistry. I said chemistry can enhance a team or it can detract. And he said he thought that this year's team was greatly enhanced by their chemistry.
See, I think they're... You know, they understand they need rim protection like that. I think they know.
Sure.
But I don't think they get this piece, that our pieces don't fit chemistry-wise. There's something preventing them from being greater than the sum of their parts. It's now two straight years we can say that. Year one, again, Kyrie factor, and the condition was epic. It was a little less so this year. It got better, but it's still not. They're still not greater than the sum of their parts, and there's something missing in there, and I don't think they understand that, and I don't think they get it. So I'm with you on that, Chris.
I would agree that I think they're being stubborn about that. Those three guys, like, and I'm talking about Smart, Tatum, and Brown, because to me that's what it's about.
Say a couple of phones here for Gasper, Matt, and Worcester on Danny Ainge. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, Danny mentioning Langford is all about his ego, right? Because all he heard for a week was Tyler Hero this, Tyler Hero that. Oh. Everyone's raving about the kid.
Great.
And he took Langford. Right after Hero.
Great.
Right? So he's trying to save fight. Why else would you mention someone who played about 30 games, averaged 11 minutes, and 2.5 points a game? Why do you bring that guy up?
Matt, great point. Great point. So it was like a double whammy. He's making excuses for his team. So he's coming up with injuries, and Langford did get hurt, so he adds him to the list. But, oh, there's a secondary thing.
No, it's a good point. He came to pick right after.
I had a guy, too. Yeah. Pat Riley took the guy you think we wanted, but we wanted Romeo. He was good, too. He was going to be really good, but he got hurt. Oh, they're such babies. Like, toughen up, you guys. Seriously. What a nice point by the caller. Where were you when I needed you earlier?
The Romeo Langford thing surprised me. I was like, come on. I mean, what did the guy play? A minute 20?
Here, Billy, play
in the series.
Play that cut for me again. This whole beginning of this comment is so gross. I mean, Danny, how'd you feel about losing in the playoffs a series you should have won?
But the bottom line is, I'm not going to get too stressed about it.
Yeah, why would you?
I don't think our team, I mean, we for sure were not 100%.
Yeah, of course.
We have guys banged up, and losing a player like Romeo Langford, I don't think we know because he didn't play a lot. But Romeo was hurt most of the year, and we were used to that. But he was starting to play really well in practice things, and not having Gordon be 100%.
All right, stop it.
Why even bring that up?
Oh my God, he was playing well in practice, Romeo Langford.
Was he helping you in regard to moral support? Like, who cares?
He was playing well in practice. Yeah. I'm not stressing it. It was just the East Finals against a team that wasn't as good as us. But I'm not stressing it. But we were hurt, Romeo Langford, who was looking good in practice. Oy vey. Oh, jeez.
That really is a horrible answer.
Oh.
For a results-oriented business where you're trying to put together a championship-caliber team, we lost. What am I going to do? I'm not going to stress about it.
Everything is awesome in Greenland,
Do you
man.
Feel the same way about the wins then, Danny?
Holy jeez.
I don't feel that great about it.
That's as bad as it gets. Tommy and Lynn on Patriots Chiefs. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yes, Felga.
Hey, Tommy.
Murray.
Chris Gasper. What's up, guys? What you guys' input on the game this Sunday? Because I think they're going to win the Pats. I think it's going to be 34-30. We're going to win. 34-30.
Okay, babe. And Murray's got it like 42-10 for the Chiefs. Chris wants to say 42-10.
No, I don't. Why
but he's trying to be diplomatic because he's got to someday walk in that locker room again.
My honest choice. That was my legitimate pick. 31-23 Chiefs.
So yeah, I say Chiefs 34, Pats 20. Something like that.
Two touchdowns?
Yeah.
31-23, and really, the more I think about it, I feel comfortable in that pick because the Chiefs are at home. Now, if he were at Gillette, I'd feel differently.
So Chris, Chris picks the Chiefs by 8, and the point, the spread
seven.
Is 7.
Mm-hmm. If he could pick it by 7.5, he would have.
I'll go 30-24.
Update with Murray, back with one more segment of your wonderful phone calls and the wonderful Chris Gasper.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We've heard Cam talk very glowingly about a lot of his teammates early this season. And I'm just curious, is that important? Does it matter for the quarterback to show confidence in the players around him? Do you think that has an impact on how they play on the field?
Yeah, of course. I think all good players do that. All leaders do that. You have confidence in the people that you work with, and that makes everybody perform at a higher level and have confidence in each other. I mean, you have to earn that, but certainly to have confidence in the people that you're working with is very important to being successful.
Huh. That still does strike me, Anthony. Is it important for a quarterback to show confidence in the players around him?
Yes, indeed.
Turns out it does.
And the converse is also true, that if a player doesn't show confidence in his teammates, that it can make everybody worse.
Huh. Interesting. So then you would say it would be important for a quarterback then to show confidence in the players around him.
Well, I think a quarterback is the consummate. It's the epitome of the leadership position.
See, Chris, what they're trying to get at is if you're nice to someone who sucks, it like washes away the suck, you see. Do you believe that?
Yeah. No, I don't believe that. Don't believe that. Because I'll tell you, during like 2009, before that game against the Falcons, Brady was super nice to Joey Galloway.
I didn't say anything about Brady.
Using an example. I mean, any example from the last 20 years will involve Brady. He was very nice.
Oh. Did you say Brady? I didn't say Brady.
I didn't say Brady. I was just playing a cut from Bilt at his press conference.
He was very nice.
I was talking about the Chiefs.
I was talking generically.
He was very nice to Chad Ochocinco. He was very nice to Scott Chandler. He was very nice to Dwayne Allen. But these guys, when they got here, could not assimilate the offense. Some of them didn't suck. They just couldn't pick up the offense. And so that's what happens from time to time.
I didn't mention Brady. This was about, I think, Newton, because the follow-up question is, you know, have you noticed that from Cam in the building or on the practice field? He says, yeah, absolutely. This sounds so bad, we're not going to play it because Bill went to the dumper to give us next answer. So the sound's not good. But he said, Cam does a great job of connecting with everybody, whether it's his teammates, his receivers, guys on defense, other people in the organization. Again, I think the captain voting, not that that's the ultimate, he says, but I think that the fact that he's been here a pretty short amount of time and earned that type of respect, unlike Julian, and support from his teammates is pretty impressive. So, yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't thinking Brady there at all. Were you, Maz?
No, I don't know. I don't know what you.
But this does lead to the email of the day, though, Billy. Go ahead and hit that for me.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Yeah, can I text it?
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Yeah, you're a dick.
And I think Maz is a boob.
I don't like gas.
The Moncast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Today's show is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E-C-A-S-T, Mimecast.com. This is subject line Bill. Bill Belichick is an unappreciative, sour DB, except this emailer spells it all out. Hope he enjoys kissing Cam Newton's backside, all to make veiled shots at players that helped him get rings, because he won't be enjoying any playoff wins in the near future. After last week's poor quarterback performance, it's kind of pathetic he's still sucking up to him. Captain votes? Whee! That will help the team beat the Chiefs. Welcome to mediocrity, Bill. Chiefs 50, Pat 17. Signed Murray and Gasper, 98.5 The Sports.
No. No. What? No.
Signed,
no.
Signed no. Kate in Andover.
Signed the Saturday midday show.
Chris, you had a quick Celtics thought before I go back to some phones?
Yeah, I just, you know, to go back to what I was saying about Danny Ainge and this idea that he was sort of, I thought, hinting at. He did say they wanted to do some things at the deadline, but it sounded mostly like this is sort of tinkering with the bench. The idea that they can keep the same team and tinker with the bench and that's going to be good enough in the East, I think that's a fallacy. I mean, the East is going to be reloaded and harder next year. Kevin Durant will be back there. The Bucks, I feel like, will do whatever they can to keep Giannis, so they're going to try and upgrade their team. The 76ers, who have chronically underachieved, are going to have a better coach pretty much by default, you know, with Doc Rivers. So I think it's going to be tougher. This idea, like, you had the primrose path to the finals, and if you think, oh, if we just had a little more of a bench, we would have beaten Miami. Yeah, that's great for this year. But are you looking ahead to next year and what the competition in the East is really going to be? It's going to be a lot harder, I think.
Okay, never mind. You haven't fully proven that you could get by Miami or Toronto if you had to go on
to
the
their
road.
Place.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, Miami at home, I'd like to think you're going to beat them next year, but you haven't shown that. In Toronto, I think you'll lose if you go to Toronto this year. So never mind all the teams Chris is talking about. But nope, everything's awesome in Greenland. That's just the way it goes there. We'll wrap it up. We'll zip through your calls here wrap it up. Let's grab Corey in Rhode Island. Hi, Corey. What do you got?
Mike, and your prediction on Milwaukee, my concert there, you were right. So
thank you.
Good job.
I had it first.
Yeah, the Milwaukee accordion scene, yeah. So the Allen, Pierce, Garnett era accumulated what? One title, should have been two, really could have been three if they really tried out it. They blow that up, spend 5 years rebuilding, choke to LeBron in game seven. Spend two more years, 7 years now, and then you're going to lose to the Bridges of Crowder and Olynyk. Okay, fine. Now, this fail occurring in a year, like you said, where Durant, Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron are out of the way, still fail. But more importantly, your enemy, Pat Riley, beat you, who I must remind Green Teamers beat you more than you beat him in the 1980s. And then the Lakers are now likely going to tie the championship record and do it with LeBron James as the head. This is an ultimate nightmare scenario at every line, and now we are forced to root for either Pat Riley or LeBron and the Lakers. It is a giant disaster.
No, but they're not stressed about it. The Celtics, the GM's not stressed. I'm not stressing it. Langford was hurt, Corey. Don't you understand? It would have been all different if Romeo Langford, and again, you have to remind me who that is again, if Romeo Langford was healthy, No, it's fine. You're being too negative. It's the Celtics.
Yeah, Wanamaker didn't look right either. Yeah,
really good at practice. We missed
He was really coming on in practice.
I really hope that Romeo Langford becomes a player so that one day they can play this sound back like they do the Marshmont sound.
No, it's true.
That would be amazing.
It's still absurd. I don't care if Romeo Langford turns into Isaiah Thomas, the original Isaiah Thomas. He was a non-factor this year, 0.0.
And Chris, if we can play the Langford sound, well, that's a win. That's why we
actually
say it, Chris.
The Marshmallow was...
Yeah, because no matter how it comes out, we get content.
Yeah, we win. Mike in St. Louis, go ahead on the Celts.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Good. So with this whole Romeo Langford being hyped up now, I'm really curious. Is that making the most valuable trade piece now, or is that still coming out?
Just think what you can get for this guy now.
Oh, no, they won't give him up.
He was a key day. They could have gone to the finals.
Don't get me going. I told you, I heard that, and I went, oh, boy.
Well, that was why they couldn't make the, Davis Bertans deal. They didn't want to give up Romeo.
Yeah, why would you when he could take you to the NBA finals like that? What tough luck that he got hurt. Mike, did you have something else? I'm sorry.
No, that was it.
Okay. His comment line was Celtics bench. They do need to improve the bench, Chris.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And some of that could be internal. But I think if they think they can just tinker around the edges and they're going to be in the NBA finals, I think that's delusional.
Oh, they better hope Robert Williams.
I honestly think that they're... And the other part of this, I'll just say quickly, I know you want to get to the calls. I'm fully on board that Brown and Tatum are still growing. But my question is, do you think if you're Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens, that keeping this current core together, that is the environment in which you will get the most out of those two guys in their growth? Because I think a lot of Celtics fans and a lot of sort of, Celtics believers are basically chalking up to, we're young, Tatum and Brown are still going to get better. I agree with you. They're not at their peaks yet. That's great. But are you building the environment around them that's going to allow them to maximize their talent when there are other guys who are both literally and figuratively getting in their way during the games?
And Maz is right. The more I think of Smart, like if the prototype for Smart is Draymond Green, let me just ask you, does Draymond Green ever get into a big playoff elimination game and take more shots than Klay Thompson and Steph Curry in the second half?
Not that I can recall.
Not unless he has it going. I mean, he's had some big games, but he's good at knowing when he has it going, and they'll feed him. And when they had Durant, nobody took more of a step back than Green. And Green was the guy who recruited Durant to be there in the first place.
Yeah, does Draymond Green do the Marcus Smart thing where he's launching in the second half of an elimination game?
I mean, look, I don't watch every Golden State game, but it feels to me like Draymond Green knows his role.
Feels that way.
Yeah, and again, I think the hierarchy there is very clear. Curry was there first. He's the best of the three. Thompson came in second. Green came in third, and he was a second-round pick, I think, as Chris pointed out,
Draymond
on top
Green,
of it.
Second-round pick.
So you look at the whole, is Draymond Green really going to walk into that environment and say, you guys have to answer to me?
No, but he can cost his team other ways, like kicking another player
in
the junk.
Sure. Yeah, no, he's stupid like that. Yeah. But I don't know, when I watched it, and again, not Mr. Hoopologist here, but when it's wide open, he takes it and he can hit it. But I don't see him taking the kind of shots that Marcus Smart does.
No, Smart's problem is he doesn't know when to stop. Like, again, in the first half of that game, you want to say that he helped keep him in the game or he kept him in the game single-handedly? Fine. He did. But in the second half at the end, with the season on the line, if he ends up with 20 shots, he's going to end up exactly where he was, which means he's going to go two for the last
game. Can I give you a quick stat on Smart?
Do it.
During that series, he tied Jaylen Brown for the most catch-and-shoot shots. Most catch-and-shoot shots. He shot 11 of 34 on catch-and-shoot shots, including 10 of 33. Meanwhile, Jaylen Brown knocked down 52.9% of his catch-and-shoot shots.
So, don't tell me that Draymond Green is doing that as much as Klay Thompson.
No, I don't think so either.
And that's their second option.
I think it's Smart has got to accept the fact that he is, in this group, the third wheel. Honestly, he's not really even good enough to be a number three in a championship core. He's like the fourth or the fifth guy.
Here's David North Providence on the Pats. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, gentlemen. How you doing
good.
Today?
What do you got?
Just got a quick couple of comments on the Patriots. First thing is Dalton Keene healthy and is he playing this week? And then the second thing is a little bit of a rant. Harry is a first-round pick. I haven't seen anything from this kid. I mean, from last year he was hurt to this year, they don't even throw over the middle to this kid. When are we ever going to see a big game from this kid?
All right, maybe this week. I mean, Gasper thinks he blows.
I didn't say that. I said he's not a number two receiver at this point in his career.
He had a half-decent game against Seattle. Half-decent.
I'm hoping they can turn him into just, again, is he ever going to justify the first-round pick?
No.
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 Okay.
That's over. No.
Dalton Keene, Chris, anything?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's had the neck injury. We'll see. You know, they haven't gotten anything out of tight end. He's kind of a H-back type. He can play tight end or fullback. Jakob Johnson's been really good. We'll see what the situation is there with his neck injury. It would help. I mean, they just haven't gotten anything out of tight end.
That's a nice way of saying that the two rookie tight ends have been mostly useless.
Bill talked about it today, and he was saying basically that it's been hard for any rookie really to contribute with the preseason. On the other hand, I see Kyle Duggar out there, and he doesn't suck.
Right. What about the kid in the offensive line, Owino?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
So, on Harry, just back to that. I don't need him to justify the first-round pick thing. I mean, I would prefer them drafting first-round talent in the first round. That's a draft discussion. But for the team, just be Brandon LaFell. You know, just be that
exactly,
guy.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, just be a consistent guy that, you know, if you want to put a season total on it, 67 grabs a year and is out a half dozen touchdowns and is a part of the offense, gets open and catches the ball and is just part of it. Like, that's all I need from him, really. And that's all I think they need from him.
What was Givens at his best?
David Givens?
Yeah, how many catches he had?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if he ever got to 60 or 70. I'm not even sure.
So, like, if you have someone else that can carry the, you know, the passing game, then that's all you need.
But you're right. Like, that era Patriots, Branch, Givens, Troy Brown, you know, and their tight ends were middling. Fourier was okay, and Dan Graham really couldn't catch, but they did as much as they needed. And it all worked, and there was no great weapon there. It was just a good scheme, a good team, a good quarterback, all working together.
He's like slathering himself. Can you hear how excited he's getting?
Oh, yes.
He loves that era of Patriots.
I do.
But you know what the difference is?
Felgi,
those were great teams.
You fetishize that era. You are like...
Why wouldn't I?
You are like the Marcus Smart fan.
Why wouldn't
I? Of the mediocre to average... And Dion's better than this, but the like mediocre to average weapons. You're like,
I am.
I love it.
I am.
You love it. You can't see any of the limitations. All you see are the good things, and you're like fetishizing that style of play.
You like to see him in lingerie.
They call him Mr. Meh.
Yeah, but you know what the difference was with that group? They had Brady.
Well, but they had a quarterback that worked with him and believed in him. And I mean, Brady was huge. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah. But aside from the attitude, he was also good.
He was also really, yes, he was.
Very accurate, great decision maker. So I just, to ask Newton to get the same out of that to me might be a lot.
Okay, well, let's see. We'll see Sunday night. Final word comes your way next.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the sports. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
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 All right, we got a combo Mad Mike Squeaky Mavs on clutch numbers.
Can't remember it.
I know what this is.
I don't.
I do.
Give me those clutch numbers again, Maz.
Okay, so I don't have them right in front of me.
Well, I do, but go ahead.
Well, I've been over them last week. The Celtics in crunch time through the series, and this is prior to game 5.
Just let me give it to you, because it's right in front of me.
Minus 57.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go.
I do have the numbers in front of me.
I know. I was just trying to give people perspective.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go.
Well, they were minus 57.
They were minus 57 through 4 games in crunch time.
Go ahead.
If you played it out over 100 possessions, which is a full game, they were minus 57, which means they would have lost the game by 50 points if every possession was a clutch possession.
So they end up losing the series in those clutch and late moments by 64 points. 64
it got worse.
Points.
It got worse.
Ah, there's just no urgency on that team. Not enough urgency among the fans, Danny Ainge's buddies in the media, or just the soft touch approach with that team. Soft as puppy poo.
They crapped their pants. At the end of the day, they crapped their pants in the series.
Give me those clutch numbers again, Maz.
Go ahead, go.
Maz does this. He puts them in the email, so we have the clutch numbers. And then it's like he brings it up on the thing, but he doesn't have it in front of him. So he's like, well, I think it was something like, no, you have it. You get it. It's right here. Let me just say, no, we got it. It's like.
Anyway. That's a fair criticism.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Of course, with the appearance of Bob Sosie comes his new song.
Yeah! So, listen up, Gasper. Maybe you learned something.
New song, yes.
Well, this is just, the dry version. You don't hear the music in the background.
All right, you ready, Maz? It's the new one.
He's Mr. Bob Sosie. Hey, Bobby.
Hot.
Just a couple of snakes.
He's right.
He's Mr. Son.
He's Mr. Play-by-Play. He's all of 5'1". Friends call him Sosie. Whatever he says.
Still working on those lyrics. I'm telling you, if you didn't go back and watch that cartoon, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
What a bunch of clowns.
Seriously, well, I mean, just bring stupid to a new level. We do have the Sosie plushie here.
Heat miser.
Little heat miser, again, life-size replica.
Real quick, I want to say bye to Kristen Sermon, who's doing her last day today behind the glass.
Yes, farewell, Kristen.
We'll be severely missed here among the ranks, among all the shows. Just easily our best-looking and best-smelling producer back there by far. It's like the bar goes way down without her. Kristen, good luck with whatever you're doing, okay? Chris, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Good to see you. Is this a special postseason edition of the Baseball Reporters next?
Oh God, no.
Throw you out the window.
Seriously, no. If it were, I couldn't keep my hair anyway. Yeah.
Do we have Murray and Gasper tomorrow?
Yes, 11 to 2 tomorrow. Who knows? We'll make it up as we go.
More rooting against the Patriots coming your way tomorrow. Chris, thanks again. We'll see you next week. Everybody, enjoy the games. Patriots, Chiefs, 4 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports up on Sunday. We're back Monday at 2 to talk about it. See you then.
See ya.
Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.